voice of women in sport.
Thank you for downloading Tucker Center Talks. This is season 2, episode 11. Listening to Tucker Center Talks, a podcast from the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota and a co-production with WISP Sports. I'm your host for Tucker Center Talks, Dr. Nicole Lavoie, director of the Tucker Center. In this podcast, I'm going to talk to Dr. Dunja Antunjevic. She is an assistant professor of sports communication at the Charlie Steiner School of Sports Communication at Bradley University. And maybe more importantly of her current position is her future position, where she is going to join me in the Tucker Center in the School of Kinesiology at the University of Minnesota this fall and will become my colleague. We're super excited to be welcoming her to the Tucker Center. Welcome, Dunja, to Tucker Center Talks.
Thank you, Dr. Lavoie. I'm so glad to be here on the podcast, and I'm thrilled to be joining the School of Kinesiology and the Tucker Center in the fall.
Well, like I said, we're thrilled to be having you, and this is sort of your introduction to Tucker Center Talks to our fans that are listening. You and I will probably be doing many more podcasts together in the future, but I just want to give listeners a broad overview of what are your current lines of research around girls and women in sport right now?
So my research focuses primarily at this intersection of sport, media, and gender. And within that area of work, I do research on three interrelated aspects. The first one is media coverage of women's sport or representations of sportswomen, which of course the listeners of the podcast will know about this area of work because Dr. Mary Jo Kane's work has been very influential here. And of course, Dr. Lavoie, you have done some work in this area as well. So I look at how sportswomen are represented in a variety of different media. The second area of research is the status of women and gendered cultural norms in the sports media industry, which primarily draws on interviews or surveys, focus groups with journalists who are working in the field and looking at how the gender norms manifest in that space, and also what is the relationship of those norms with the coverage of women's sport. And then the third area is fandom and audiences of women's sport. And this is the area that I did some research in that area early on, and I'm sort of starting to return to it again, which of course is really important in terms of understanding the implications of media coverage of women's sport.
So these three lines of research that you do really is at the intersection of sports journalism, communication, sports sociology, and critical feminist scholarship. What do you think are some areas that are lacking? Where are the gaps right now? And maybe this tells us where you're going in the future.
Yes, so that's correct, right? This is a very interdisciplinary area of work. And over the last 40 and 50 years, scholars in a variety of disciplines have been asking these questions. Also, I think some of the fandom research and consumption research really comes from sport management. The media coverage research comes from sports sociology and communication. So I think that in general, there are hundreds of studies on media coverage of women's sport, and I think that scholars absolutely need to keep doing that work. Of course, the longitudinal studies in this area that help us track some of the patterns and observe the lack of change in coverage of women's sport, particularly when it comes to the percentages that we see are really important. They're also important in terms of tracking some changes, and we know based on research in the last couple of years that there have been some spaces where women are represented as competent athletes, and maybe those representations are shifting. So it's kind of a mixed. We have some mixed findings on that. So that's an area that is very, very important. I really appreciate it, and I have also tried to do some work where I talk directly with the journalists who are doing this work, because what we can find out from that is the processes behind the coverage, and even the, you know, we see the number of, you know, women's sports represent 4% of media coverage in televised news shows or newspapers, right? It's, I think the percentages we're seeing are between 1 and 5, which is very low. But I think even understanding the process behind to get to that 4% is important, and particularly it helps us understand some of the decisions that the journalists are making, some of the structural constraints that they face in terms of doing this work. And then also where the spaces are, where the coverage of women's sport is happening. And a lot of times that is sort of outside of that mainstream.
Let me ask you this then. I'm thinking of two sort of follow-up questions. One is the idea that I hear a lot is that, well, to get more legitimate coverage of women's sport, we need more women's sport journalists. How do you answer that assertion? Is that true?
So to some extent, what we know is that the based on research is that the cultural norms that exclude women's sport often also exclude women working in the industry. And so there definitely needs to be a change in the cultures in order to make the sports media space more inclusive. But we also know that it is often men who make decisions about media coverage of women's sport, and men who are covering women's sport as well. And so I think it's important to understand the complexity, right, of that space. And some of the journalists I talk to, you know, often there were very few women in the newsroom, and so the women might be covering women's sports, but they are also covering men's sports, and so sometimes it's the men who are writing about women's sports as well. I think in terms of the percentage of women working in the industry, that percentage is still very low. So there definitely needs to be a space that allows women to enter the industry and stay in the industry and advance in the industry, which can sort of hopefully change the culture also around coverage.
Right. And it's almost, a lot of my work, as you know, is around women in sport leadership. And the corollary argument is that, well, if we have more women in leadership and positions of power, then they'll hire more women. The idea in sport media is if we have more women in sport journalism, they'll want to cover women's sport. And, you know, in the leadership realm, that's just not true, that women leaders often do not hire more women, because if they do, you know, what's the biggest way to open yourself up to criticism is to get into a new position as a woman leader and hire a bunch of women. Whereas if a male AD is hired and hires all men, nobody thinks twice. So, you know, this idea of just adding more women into the system doesn't necessarily mean to more or better coverage of women's sport. And I think that's an important distinction that we need to make.
Yes. And I think that based on some of the work that I did with colleagues from the Curley Center for Sport Journalism a few years ago, and in national surveys, we saw that that there are still sports media outlets and spaces and sports departments that have no women on staff. Right. So and of course, we are seeing a lot of stories about women entering into spaces previously where previously only men were present, such as calling, you know, games for professional men's sports, and those advances are really important. I think we also need to pay attention to the kind of strategies that work to sort of keep that door open, right? To make sure that it's not just, you know, a few women who maybe take that step in their career, instead that there are these opportunities remain available. So there is, I think there is definitely a connection when it comes to what are the things that we value, what are the norms that can kind of make the space more inclusive for women overall. We definitely know that there are a variety of strategies that need to be in place in order for women's sports to receive coverage.
So in your opinion, where do you see the best or legitimate coverage of women's sport happening right now? And I know this landscape is changing with the current global pandemic we're in, but maybe the top two really good places that people can go who want to support and advance legitimate coverage of women's sport, where would you send them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And actually, the answer to that question will be in an upcoming book that I'm writing with Dr. Cheryl Cookie.
All right. You heard it here on Tucker Center Talks, a sneak preview to a future best-selling book.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. So we are in that book, we are identifying coverage of women's sport, and especially what we are doing is expanding what we consider sports media. And so we're trying to see where the conversations about women's sports are happening. Of course, we know based on previous research or existing research and especially Dr. Sarah Walter's work on ESPNW that ESPNW has really changed the conversation around women's sports quite a bit. So I think in terms of mainstream, so to speak, mainstream media outlets, that space is there. There are also, I think, more and more collectives that are focusing specifically on women's sport. We're seeing an emergence of the spaces that are starting that conversation. A lot of the work is done by freelance journalists. As well, right? And so one of the challenges right now, I think, is to sort of map that coverage, right? And to understand where that coverage of women's sport is. And there are two ways that we can think about sort of visibility of women's sport. One is, where can we find the games, right? If we want to actually watch the games. And then the second part is, where can we find news about women's sport? And those are often not in the same spaces.
They certainly are not.
I think fans of women's sport have to work very, very hard to find that content sometimes.
Well, and what struck me recently being that there aren't any live sports happening except very, very few. Our mainstream sports and even our non-mainstream sports, we can't find it. So they're replaying. They're replaying old games from who knows when, but they're replaying men's sport. And this has been bothering me. But then it finally dawned on me that the reason why is if you didn't cover it in the first place, you can't replay it.
Yeah, so the question of course, is what's in the vault, right?
What's in the vault? And it's not a predominance of women's sport. So even at a time when we could showcase women's sport legitimately and expose fans who are really bored and looking for new sport, women's sport might be new to them, but we can't even see that because we didn't cover it in the first place. And this is really just sort of an aha moment for me that I'm sure is obvious to everybody else.
Yes, and the other, I actually caught a game, a women's basketball game from 1982 on the Big Ten Network. I don't know if you saw that, Dr. Lavoie, but one area where maybe we see a little bit of more visibility is on networks that are connected to conferences, right? And we see the college college sports broadcast there. And the other issue in terms of the some of the games that that are available is that the production values are so much lower for women's sports, right? And so and the resources are just not there, right? And the people who are covering women's sport, you know, they might be doing a really good job of calling the game and all that, but when you have fewer cameras, right? And the problem is that a lot of the games of women's sport have been sort of on these digital platforms, right? The camera, it's who knows where, and you know, they're you know, very few graphics.
Way up in the tree on the side of the field.
Right, and I mean it's not funny at all. But the issue is that you can't just take that video and you know put it on the main channel because it just the production quality is significantly lower, and so
which so then that, in turn reinforces the idea that women's sport is less than and less interesting because you're seeing women's sport, but it's less production value and it looks terrible compared to what we normally see.
You don't see the graphics, you don't have the music in the background, right? And so so you really just have sort of the play itself, which in itself should be interesting, right? But certainly doesn't compare to the production quality that a lot of the mainstream men's sports receive. Mm-hmm.
So tell me, what's one study, you talked about your new book that you're doing with our colleague, Cheryl Cookie. What's one study you're currently working on that you're excited about?
So the book is really the main project on my plate right now. And we presented some of that work at previous conferences. And published a couple of sort of commentaries and pieces from the book. So one of the pieces looks at narrative, what we're calling narratives of progress and narratives of failure in relation to how media talk about women's sports. And we observe this in different spaces. The piece that we published focuses particularly on Olympic and on the Olympic and Paralympic Games. And sort of this idea that women are the narratives of progress refers to this idea that women are now successful. They're winning medals. There are more women represented on teams, and so sort of this narrative that we have seen in relation to women's sports over the last couple of years, right? That there is a momentum in women's sport. And I heard you talk about this on I think a previous episode, Dr. Lavoie, but you know, the idea of Year of the Woman, right? And it seems like, you know, every other year is the Year of the Woman, but the last couple of years or 3-4 years have really seemed to be sort of an extended sort of moment, right, that goes beyond just that excitement around the Olympics. And so that's sort of what we're referring to as narratives of progress. And then the simultaneous narratives of failure that we are seeing, which still sort of point out that media coverage is very low, that there's still sort of issues. And so we're also looking at other aspects. So such as promotion of women's sport and advertisements and so forth. So it's going to be a comprehensive really analysis of what we broadly refer to as sports media. So that has been the main project. And then I'm also writing sort of a review piece on the literature on fandom of women's sport. And so looking at what are some, what is the knowledge that we know about fans of women's sports right now. And I think there are some tremendous opportunities there to ask different questions, ask new questions, to advance that area of research. So I'm looking forward to doing some of that work when I get to the Tucker Center.
And we are excited to have you do just that. One of the reasons why we're so excited to have you come is that you bring a different lens and perspective to help us be thought leaders and promote and push new narratives for women in sports. Because one of the ways we change the system for girls and women in sport is to own the narrative and frame the narrative. And there certainly, as you pointed out, are many, many narratives around girls and women in sport. And some of them are stigmatizing, they are not true, they are demoralizing, and they really frame the conversation around girls and women's sport for those who don't have a critical perspective on this. They just take it up as true, even when it's not. So I'm really excited to bring you on board and have us even be more of a leader in creating these new narratives for women in sport. So stay tuned. Good stuff coming ahead. All right, let's wrap this up and tell me three kind of sticky or applicable ideas from your research that really resonate when you talk to people. What are some pithy, sticky ideas from your research?
So one aspect is, and this seems sort of intuitive and obvious, but when we look at media coverage and also based on conversations that I have with people, is that women's sports still seem to be an afterthought in many spaces. And I think that sometimes it's hard to sort of understand that in relation to sort of what we can refer to as moments of visibility, right? We see these moments when women's sports get a lot of attention, and but still there is such an exclusion of women's sport, and one of the arguments that I make to my students when the students who want to go into the sports media industry is that knowing about women's sports is it's a part of your job, right? I mean, it's there are a lot of different reasons or rationales we can use to advocate for women's sports coverage, right? But excluding information about women's sport is actually inaccurate, right? It creates inaccuracies. And we see this when people are right now, saying that the NFL draft was the first live event on ESPN. Well, the WNBA draft was happening a few days before that, right? Or, completely forgetting that there are women's teams in certain cities, right? When people are counting championships, right? Those are factual inaccuracies.
Or not including LPGA athletes on live golf events, which is some of the only live sport we're seeing now. The women are completely erased and excluded.
Mm-hmm. And so there are a couple of ways to do this. One is to just specify that you are, writing about men's sports or you're referring to men's sports. But the other way, of course, is to actually include women. So I think that it's across the board, it's really important to develop that expertise in sport. And of course, the listeners of WIS Sports Radio are very knowledgeable about this. But I think it's important that we don't take that knowledge for granted, right? That it's still important to point out the ways in which women are participating in sports.
Okay, so sticky idea number one, women's sport is not an afterthought.
Exactly.
It's very profound.
Thank you. Okay. I know, right? Thank you for summarizing that.
Number two.
Okay, number two. So we hear about 4% a lot, right? That 4% media coverage, women receive 4% of media coverage in certain spaces. Even the 4% takes a lot of work and requires intentional strategies. That's what we are learning from talking to journalists. And so it's really important to kind of continue to have organizational commitment so that, when women do receive coverage, it's not just, the work of individual journalists who are committing to that. So even the 4% takes a lot of work. And of course, there need to be intentional strategies to increase coverage of women's sports.
Okay. And I think it's important to note that this 4% gets thrown around a lot. And a lot of times it gets attributed to the Tucker Center. It is not our statistic. It is the statistic coming from the work of Dr. Cookie and colleagues, Mike Messner, Margaret Carlisle Duncan, and a lot of their graduate students over time, is the gender and televised media report. And I know they're working on the next iteration of that for the summer. So when you hear 4% of media coverage is dedicated to women's sport, let's make sure that we attribute it to the proper channel.
Yes, and it's not just that study, which refers to televised news on SportsCenter and local news, right? It's also other studies that are replicated in different spaces that look at different televised news, that look at newspaper cover, right?
And so Sports Illustrated covers, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really that 1-5% is what we're seeing in the studies that we have right now. And of course, I think the other part that's important to note is that coverage during the Olympics is very different, right? So there, at the last Olympic Games, women achieved parity in terms of coverage. And this doesn't refer to sort of the broadcast programming overall, right? So we're talking about news coverage in very particular spaces. But what we know when we talk to professionals, industry professionals who are doing that work, is that even that little bit of coverage really takes in some intentionality.
Okay, so my takeaway from point number two is that we should not be dismissive of the work that goes behind that 4%, is that it matters and it's better than zero. So I hate even to say that, and it's not funny, but I sort of am being facetious. Okay, point number three, bring us home.
Okay, so point number three is more of a research problem, I would say, and I would encourage the listeners to maybe think about how we can address this. So the media landscape is changing, right? And of course, right now, especially, there are a lot of disruptions. But we also know that news consumption habits have changed, right? And the way people consume media, the way people consume even television, right, the streaming services. I mean, we see a lot of disruptions in terms of how people consume sports. So my question is, how can we expand our methodological tool set, and how can we ask questions and when we answer our research questions about audiences and fans and their relationship to women's sport? So it's sort of a takeaway from some of the work that I have done, right? I've actually written some pieces that are not related to sport, that are about news consumption habits from that sort of media background. And I would be very curious to know what sports consumption habits look like for audiences of women's sport. So I think when you do research, a lot of times you're left with more questions than answers, right? And so this is an example of that.
Yes. So sticky idea number three is really a question for all of us to think about. And we certainly will be doing that together in the Tucker Center this fall. And I really look forward to having those conversations and thinking through that with you more face-to-face, I'm putting in air quotes. Who knows when we're actually going to be back in the Tucker Center, but we certainly can do our virtual Tucker Center work at a distance.
Yes, and I'm very much looking forward to that.
Thank you for joining us. And as we conclude this episode of Tucker Center Talks, I'd love to hear from you. So tweet me at Tucker Center or to me directly at Dr. Sports Psych. You can check out our website at tuckercenter.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find the show notes with links and resources for this episode at wisports.com. Look for the Tucker Center Talks under the Listen tab, where you can find many more conversations from the world of women's sport. Thank you for listening and helping us turn up the volume on women's sport. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. I'm your host, Dr. Nicole Lavoie, signing off to make a difference in the lives of girls and women in sport.